Some of you have a confused look on your face. What in the world is that on the screen? Is that a title? Or is that Hooked on Phonics? Well, it's Hooked on Phonics for me. It may not make sense to you now. It probably may possibly not make a lot of sense to you after I explain it. But I'll do my best. I pronounce it along with Michael Ferris, a fellow gospel preacher, a study partner of mine during my college days, as Win of N, Fublin Lays. It came to us early one morning. You know those college days. Staying up late at night, early of a morning, studying. We were having one of those times. We were studying for a critical introduction to the New Testament test. It just so happens that we had one of those teachers that we sometimes have that love lists. In fact, Dr. Warren loved lists so well, the longer the list, the better in his mind. And so we had to come up with creative ways in which we could remember these lists. We've been working on this for some time, and when it finally came to us and came together for us, I made the comment that it's so crazy we won't be able to forget it. Well, it holds true today. I haven't forgotten. Win of N, Fublin Lays. But what does that have to do with us coming together tonight for the purpose of studying God's Word? If you look at the gospel account of John, also known as the book of John, he focuses upon seven of Jesus' miracles. And that listing is remembered by this phrase. Win of N, water into wine, healing of the official son, and healing of the invalid. Fublin Lays, feeding of the 5,000, walking on water, healing of the man born blind, and the raising of Lazarus. Two students having to get all seven correct on our final examination. And I'll let you guess who those two were. We haven't forgotten it. A careful study of each of these miracles provides us as Christians with some principles of encouragement for the difficult times in life. And if you're listening tonight or this evening by way of radio, or if you're listening later on by the use of the internet, we invite you to join with us as we discuss John's seven miracles. I hope you've brought your Bibles if you're here this evening, and you'll locate John chapter 2. John chapter 2 is where we will begin. But we'll be looking briefly at each one of these miracles that John focuses upon. Is there anyone here this evening that's dealing with disappointments? Do you remember when Jesus addressed an embarrassing moment, turning water into wine in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11? That water into wine, the first miracle of Jesus in Cana of Galilee. In verse number 3, it says that when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Verse 4, Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with us? My hour is not yet come." Jesus spoke to his mother as if to say, this is their feast. This is their time. It's not mine. A party host is supposed to provide for the guest. And I'm not a host. I am the guest. So what do you propose I do about this? That's when Jesus' mother instructed the servants who were standing nearby, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And left it at that. She kind of put Jesus in a spot. This is not my party. I'm not the one to provide these things. The host is the one who should be providing these things. I'm just a guest. But what do you want me to do about it? And then she instructs the servants, whatever he says, do it. Notice what he did do. Verses 7 through 11, John chapter 2. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. And when the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, he did not know where it had come from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, every man serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of his signs or miracles Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Jesus instructed them what to do with the six pots of water, and he turned them into wine. And the principle that you and I are to draw encouragement from this evening is that Jesus is still the one that we can turn to when life turns on us. When we are disappointed with the things that we encounter in life, Jesus is the one we can turn to. And we can stand and say, as Paul did, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. When all the rest of the world lets us down and we are disappointed with them, the Lord is still with us and the Lord is still strengthening us. Maybe tonight you're dealing with some doubts. Do you recall when Jesus healed the boy and told his daddy to return home, only for the father to go without question? John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. We begin in verse number 46. Therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. And the royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. A man, knowing his son is at the point of death, comes to Jesus knowing that Jesus has the power, Jesus has the ability to heal his son, and Jesus' words to him is, go, your son lives. And the great faith of this man is shown when he leaves without questioning Jesus' actions, without questioning Jesus' doings. He leaves off to go and return home. And as he's returning home, his servants come and they run to meet him and they tell him what has happened to his son. And the man asks, at what time did these things happen? And by the calculations in his mind, he knew that it was about the exact time the day prior that Jesus had said to him, your son lives. Verse 53. The principle of encouragement that we are to draw from this miracle is that Jesus is still the one in whom we place our faith and all of our hopes and all of our dreams. Christ is the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. And so when we have doubts in this life, the one we ought to turn to is Jesus. Is there anyone here this evening that's dealing with disabilities? Let's bring back into our minds that occasion when Jesus healed a 38-year-old invalid in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. After these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew Bethsaida, having five porticos. In these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, and withered, waiting for the moving of the waters. And for an angel of the Lord went down at a certain season into the pool and stirred up the waters. Whoever then first, after the stirring of the waters, stepped into the water, well from whatever was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted. And the man that was there had been ill for 38 years. Now, taking into consideration the end of verse 3 and all of verse 4, it may be in brackets in your Bible, it may be as a footnote, it may be footnoted, that segment, that these are not in the earliest or the best Greek manuscripts. But nonetheless, from verse 2 and verse 5, we can gather that those who were sick, those who were blind, those who were lame, those who were withered, came and sat at the pool of Bethsaida in Jerusalem for healing. Jesus knew this man who sat there, that he had been there for a long time. And so, verse number 6, he asked, "Do you wish to get well?" And the man explained, I don't have anyone to carry me in. Every time I try to get up and get into the troubled water, someone beats me to it." Jesus then said to the invalid, verse 8, "Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk." The healing of the invalid provides us with the principle of encouragement that via Jesus' loving providence, we can still be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. In dealing with disabilities, we need to know that Jesus, the Lord, is the one who strengthens us. Furthermore, that we can be as confident as Paul was in Philippians 4 and verse 13, that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Everything in this life which I need to do, God is going to give me the ability to do. Maybe there's someone here this evening who's dealing with desires. John chapter 6. Verses 1 through 14, evoke in your memory the instance when Jesus fed the 5,000 with a sack lunch. We read verses 1 through 4, "After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee," or Tiberias. "A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he had performed on those who were sick. Then Jesus went up to the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples." Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. In verse number 5, Jesus asked Philip, testing him, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" And Philip responded, verse number 7, he said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little." Verse 8 and verse 9, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" It's then in verses 11 through 13 that Jesus reveals what was his plan all along, for he had tested Philip in asking him, "How are we going to feed all these people, or where shall we buy bread?" Verse 11 through 13, Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed those to all of those who were seated. Likewise, also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. Everyone ate to their fill, and yet 12 baskets full of fragments were still gathered in. When it comes to our desires in this life, the things that we truly believe that we are in need of, we should draw great encouragement from Jesus, knowing that He meets those desires. He meets the desires of those who cry out. Philippians 1 and verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. He will provide the needs. Thus it is that Jesus is the one we need to turn to. Maybe someone this evening is dealing with despair. As you move forward in John chapter 6, down to verse 16 through 21, think back to when Jesus reached out to save Peter. John 6, beginning in verse 16, "Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into the boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum. It had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. And the sea began to be stirred up because of a strong wind was blowing. The disciples are in the boat, they're on the water, and the sea has rose due to a wind. When verse number 19, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened." Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33 is the extended version of this miracle account. And in it, we're told that Peter attempted to walk to Jesus on the water, and he did so for a distance. But then he began to sink, and as he began to sink, he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out and caught him. Aren't we thankful that the hands of Jesus are extended to us with great promise? Encouragement should be felt by all those who hear the words of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "I will never desert you, nor will I ever leave you or forsake you." With all of the despair that we face in this life, Jesus is there. Jesus cares. And Jesus wants us to be assured of His presence. Maybe someone tonight is dealing with darkness. Maybe the darkness of sin. It may be just the darkness of feeling the sense of being lost in this world. What am I here for? What am I to do? Call to mind the time when Jesus gave sight to the blind man in John chapter 9. John chapter 9, beginning in verse 1, "As he passed by, he saw the man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no man can work.' Then Jesus said in verse number 5, 'While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' And after making this statement, Jesus spit on the ground and he made clay and he put it on the blind man's eyes, saying, 'Go, wash in the pool of Siloam.' Those who knew this blind man knew that he had been blind from birth. So they questioned him how that he had gained his sight. And the blind man simply told the questioners in verse 11, 'The man who is called Jesus made clay, and he anointed my eyes and said, "Go, wash in Siloam." So I went away and I washed and I received sight." To the man who is stumbling in the wretched darkness of this world, the darkness of sin, the darkness of Satan, Jesus is the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. To the man who is lost in this world and trying to find his way, trying to find his soul's direction in life, Jesus is the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. Jesus is the one we are to turn to. Finally, someone here tonight struggling about death. Maybe it's come to that point in your life in which you know the end is drawing near. You recognize you lived a long and successful, fruitful life in service to God. and you know your days are drawing shorter. Maybe you're dealing with the difficulties of death because you're dealing with the emotional pain, the thoughts, the memories of one who has passed from this life, which you miss greatly. Revisit the raising of Lazarus in your mind briefly. As Jesus stood outside the tomb of his friend, he cried and said, "Lazarus, come forth." John chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha in Bethany. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, to Jesus, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" Verse 4, "But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it.'" He would later on say in verse number 11, as he spoke with his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, the text reveals, when Jesus cried out to him with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the man who had died came forth, and he was bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And as great as this miracle of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is, better still, there will come a day in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. John 5, verses 28 and 29. We struggle with death because of our love for those who have passed on. We may struggle with death because we know what is coming for us. But we need to draw comfort from the fact that the Lord, who raised Lazarus from the dead and called him forth from the tomb, will one day call us forth from the grave. John has presented 7 miracles of Jesus, each one proving the deity of Christ, each one providing encouragement for every Christian and every hearer of the message. These principles of encouragement found within these 7 miracles help us in dealing with life's troubles and life's difficulties. Whether it's disappointments or doubts or disabilities, whether it be desires or despair, whether it be the darkness, or whether it even be death, Jesus is the answer. Jesus, literally, he who saves, a man of miracles, has shown us that he cares and that he wants to be there for us. But even more, as one who touches our own lives in so many marvelous ways, we are blessed to call Him my Lord and my God. John 20 and verse 28. My Lord and my God is the one who cares. Can you call Him your Lord? Can you call Him your God? John said in closing out this writing in John 20, verse 30 and 31, "Many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." John wrote these things so that we might draw from them the comfort and the encouragement which we have discussed this evening. So can you call Him your Lord? Can you call Him your God? Believing in Christ leads one to repent of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. It leads one to confess Christ as Lord, Matthew 10 and verse 32. It leads one to be baptized, Acts 8 and verse 12. There are definitely those tonight who have not been baptized into Christ. And so they may need to come. But then there are those who have committed their life to Christ, committed to living for Christ in this world. But the intentions of their heart have proved that their heart is not right in the sight of God, something for which prayer was prescribed, Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. And so tonight you may be a child of God whose heart is not right in the sight of God, and you need the prayers of the church petitioning God for your forgiveness. Maybe what you need tonight the most is mercy. You need help in facing the difficulties of this life. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We will be honored to go before the throne of grace to seek mercy, to seek help on your behalf. The opportunity to have your needs met by Jesus is now. The opportunity to have the needs which you have in this life met by the one who can meet every need is now. So who will come? Who will be the one? Who will be of the number that come to the one who supplies all our needs? And will it be you tonight, as together we stand and as we sing?